B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
them. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
With second down looming from midfield, Matthew Sletter taking up his familiar pose in victory formation as Brady drops to the knee. Razor sharp all day long here at Gillette. The Patriots quarterback threw for 343 yards, and the Pats remain unbeaten at home. And now they've got to take a performance like today's and build on it, travel to Kansas City with it to beat the Chiefs for the second time this year, as they will meet in the AFC Championship game next Sunday in Kansas City.
Great job by our team today. Couldn't be prouder of the effort from the coaching staff, players. Had a really good week. Obviously ready to go. Played a good game today against a good football team. Chargers are really, as I said, all week been very impressive in everything they do. And I thought our team played well and we made plays in every area and played with a lot of energy, a lot of effort. So it's good to be playing this time of year. Good to be able to move on. Give the players credit. They really competed well today. That you needed this time of year.
All right, here we go. The day after. Usually called a re-entry Monday, but it ain't re-entry Monday. We'll be almost all Patriots, Chargers. If you want to hit on maybe the other games, we could do that a little bit. But you know where we're going today with you and your reaction to the Patriots divisional win yesterday over the L.A. Chargers at Foxborough, and it's on to Kansas City. All of that. Maz Murray are alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. Maz, your thoughts on that one?
So for much of this year, I thought the Patriots have looked, for lack of a better word, old. Old. Brady, Edelman, Gronk, and yesterday what we got was the Patriots of old. That's what we got.
See how he turned that phrase there, Murray?
They were... Look,
he's a writer.
Yes.
They were phenomenal.
Wordsmith.
On all fronts. They were sensational. And I thought there was a chance you were going to get a better Patriots team in this game because, you know, they're rested, they're healthy, and I thought that would really benefit them. In no way did I anticipate that. No freaking way. They dominated the line of scrimmage on both sides, by the way, not just on the offensive line. I feel like the offensive line's getting a lot of love, and they deserve it. But I thought they were just as good, the parts of the game that mattered, on the defensive side. So look, complete domination, utter annihilation. They just creamed the Chargers. Absolutely destroyed them out of the gate. And, you know, to me, if they play like that, they're going to the Super Bowl. If they play like that. Now, whether or not they can, we can debate later. But that game yesterday was their best game of the year.
Yeah, it made me feel like, where the hell was this all year? And I get it, they're healthy. And I'm using air quotes a little bit because at this point of the year, everyone's beat up. But I thought that they set the tone from the very first drive that took like 8 minutes off of the clock. And it had to be so demoralizing if on that Chargers defense. And I know that they quickly tied the game because of a mistake by Gilmore. But you could tell, like, that offensive line was going to be pushing guys around all day long. They set that tone with that first drive, and they never gave up. Like, I figured they'd win, but nobody saw that coming yesterday. That was insane.
Oh, I mean, I certainly didn't. No question. I did not expect that. And I agree with Maz. I think it came down to line play and coaching. Line play and coaching. Both, you know, your standard, you know, excellence, and really a disappointing afternoon from L.A., I think. You know, I'm really stunned they didn't adjust that defense at all. But, you know, full credit to the Patriots. They took advantage of it. But the line play was just
phenomenal.
It was glaring, and not just in the running game. I thought it was just as dramatic in the passing game on both sides. Saw a stat that Phillip Rivers was pressured on 70% of his dropbacks in the first half. 70%.
Off the charts.
That is tremendous. I know that's not a line. It's sort of blitzing, so Brian Flores deserves credit. That whole thing. Rivers could not get set and get in a rhythm. He just couldn't. They were constantly in his face. And Brady was just the opposite. Boy, he was just the opposite. He was free and easy from that first drive, and especially that, you know, that middle of the pocket thing. You know, we talked about on Friday, some teams send their good rushers on the inside because they know you got to get him off the spot and get that rush in his face. The Chargers ever do that?
No.
You know, so it's really those upfield rushers, which Brady can handle. He's always handled. The line handled brilliantly. And, boy, he was just clean and comfortable from the first drive. And Rivers, it was just sort of the opposite. That was a huge factor, never mind the running games, which is obvious. So I think it was up front, and it was coaching. It was coaching. It was that same Seattle cover three defense that they've seen a million times and nothing to adjust off of it.
No, and except it's Seattle cover three, except they don't have Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, like go right down the line, Cam Chancellor.
Well, no, but it's like, you know.
Stupid.
All the local writers who follow the X's and O's stuff carefully said, well, against that defense, Brady throws to the backs and Edelman. He throws to the backs and Edelman. He throws to the backs and Edelman. So if Phil Perry knows that, Gus Bradley can't, you know, I mean, look at the first couple drives. It was all the running backs and Edelman, running backs and Edelman. So
didn't James White have five catches in the first drive?
Something like, I think James White set an NFL record yesterday.
15 catches.
Of some kind. So, I mean, that just goes back to coaching, which, you know, big check mark in the Patriots' favor in that game. And that's what that was yesterday. I wasn't expecting it.
I mean, it felt like that they had only prepared for that team for two straight weeks, the way that it played out. Like, you know, maybe that, okay, I'm sure they maybe gave a little time to Houston or Colts or anyone else that could have come in here for a few days, but it felt like they were fully in on the L.A. Chargers coming in for that game yesterday.
I mean, you know what that felt like to me from a defensive standpoint? Now I'm picking on the Chargers. What Pittsburgh did here 2 years ago. You just do the same thing against Brady and you play zone? What are you, stupid?
Right. Switch it up.
I mean, that's inviting them to kick your ass.
Coaching. So, but anyway, that's not taking anything away from the Patriots.
No, they were awesome yesterday. They were great.
Because the Chargers played that defense against everyone and they've beaten everybody else except for you. And it wasn't even close. What else? Who's your favorite player in this game?
So to me, the guy that I thought had the most eye-opening performance, is the way that I would put it, was Edelman. I just thought that he completely changes everything with that offense. And this is a little bit what I felt like going all the way back to week five when he came back from the suspension. I thought they looked good that week when Edelman was there. And I thought, now that's the Patriots I remember with Edelman on the field. And in this game, this is the best Edelman has looked since... You know, since the
pre-knee injury.
Right, exactly, right. It's easily the best he's looked all year. I got all my dates jumbled there. I was going to say it's the best he's looked this year. The best he's looked this season by far. He was tremendous. Excellent. So between him and White, Brady completed 34 passes yesterday, 24 to those two guys. 15 to White, 9 more to Edelman. He was 9 of 13 to Edelman, and there were some tough catches there, some good runs after the catch, all of it. He took a beating. He kept getting up. He kept catching the ball, all of it. To me, he was the guy that stood out to me more than anybody.
It's without question, Edelman. Pre-knee injury, no one got separation like him in the NFL at that position, and I had thought we weren't going to see that again. And you saw that yesterday. And just the toughness thing that Maz mentioned too, that play where he breaks out of two tackles and reaches for the first down. That's when you realize, like, I don't know, I'm sorry.
Right, badass.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how you can't get pumped up for that. And if you're the Chargers, you got to think, like, oh boy, we're in for a long day here. That has, again, something else that has to be so demoralizing if you're, you know, on the Chargers looking at that.
That's not when I knew, it was on the first drive when he broke out of those tackles, I believe. That's not when I knew it was over, though. I actually knew it was over before that. I actually knew I was in trouble before that. It was when the kicker that they signed that week drilled it off of Devlin on the opening kickoff, the guy, the kickoff specialist. I said, uh-oh. Uh-oh. But anyway, we'll get to that. All right, let's do this now. The role of Sony Michel in the running game.
So, look, I thought Michelle was good. I'm not going to sit here and dump on Michelle, but I will say this. They won it with the pass first. They didn't win it with the running game first. It was all about the pass on the first three drives of the game. They went up 21-7 because of what Brady was able to execute throwing the ball. And I'm not telling you that Michelle didn't run the ball well when he ran it. Although on the first drive, he sucked. But beyond that, no, I know I'm dumping on him.
No, good job. Good job. Do it.
I'm trying to tell reality here. He gave minus one early. Now, look, the offensive line imposed its will, and he had a heck of a game. I thought he ran hard. And that, to me, he ran through some contact, too, which I was happy to see. I still don't have the most confidence in him in the world in a short yardage situation. But it's hard to, I mean, who do you pick on the team in this game? They were all good, every single one of them.
They were all great. There's no question. He was great yesterday.
I mean, so he was excellent.
But not even close to changing my mind.
So here's my point, okay? And I'm sorry to jump in. But let's look at the games all weekend. Offensive line play, with the exception of last night's game between the Saints and the Eagles, was dominant in all three games.
The best running back I saw all weekend was some fat 40-year-old dude that I didn't even know was in the league.
C.J. Anderson.
I don't know, like I was still in the league.
Yeah, and the old bowling ball from Denver who got cut by Green Bay.
That's what I'm talking about. I didn't know that dude was still in the league.
He's a load.
And he So,
and Damian Williams of the Chiefs ran for 125.
I do. That did nothing to change my mind yesterday. Nothing. And nothing that happened yesterday in Foxborough proves that I'm wrong about the running back. It's about scheme and opportunity. Some guys are better than others, certainly. Michelle's pretty good. But I think that there's dozens of guys, dozens, if not more, hundreds, who could do what he did yesterday. Or do 90% of what he did yesterday at a fifth of the cost or the price to go do it. So that does nothing to change my mind at all. It was about your offensive line. It was about the holes. It was about the scheme. And that's what I think goes on in L.A. I mean, I think Gurley is, you know, certainly a talented kid. But you give it to the fat 40-year-old, and it's roughly the same production. So what does that lead me to believe? Same thing. Nope. No sale on the running back. None. Murray, your thoughts?
Oh, well, look, it had a lot, obviously, to do with the offensive line. And you know me, back lives matter. So even if you want to sit there and crow about it, you do have three first-round picks at running back that are going to their respective championship games. But be that as it may, it had... Look, I'm not going to sit here and be a complete honk about Michelle and the player because it was about the offensive line yesterday. He was good, and I'm not going to bring
third?
Up...
Who's the third? Why am I dumb? Ingram?
Ingram, Michelle, obviously, and Todd Gurley.
Okay.
But look, I'm not even going to bring up the yardage because I don't want to get yelled at. But yards per carry, you always want that. So almost 5.5. Like
he ran great.
He ran hard.
That's a great number.
And towards the end of the year, you've seen him start to bowl people over. So the kid ran tough. You can't deny that.
No question. And, you know, it's going into the game. I said this could be a running game. And it should be if they give it to you. I'm all fine with that. I just, again, you don't need to draft that guy in the first round. That's all. That's my point.
I was impressed by the breakaway speed on the 40. Oh, that's right. He got caught from behind. I forgot about that. Well, it should have been a touchdown, but I'll give it to him, though. I'll give it to him. He had a good game.
We have a ton to get to. Now, I know you want to talk about the Chiefs. We have all week to talk about the Chiefs. If you take us there, you take us there. But we're really going to try and focus on yesterday and your thoughts and your reaction to another great day for the Patriots.
I mean, tomato can result, but that's no tomato can. That's real team.
And so, look, I mean, if you want to do that, if you want to rag on Phillip Rivers, if you want to rag on the Chargers, if you want to rag on the coaching, which I do. I mean, I think their coaches deserve a lot of criticism. I have way more for their coaches than their players. I think their players are their players. I mean, I think, you know, even Phillip Rivers, what the hell was he supposed to do? I mean, he had no chance. He was pressured on 70% of his dropbacks in the first half. It's like, I mean, I'm not telling you he couldn't have played better. I guess he could have.
He's a statue back there. When they activated Adrian Claiborne before the game, I had a feeling I was like, watch him have a good game. And he did.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he is what he is. And all their players are what they are. And I think the coaches just put him in a best. But anyway, if you're out there going to rip on Rivers, rip on the coaching, if you're going to say it's the weather, if you're going to say it's the travel, all you are doing is diminishing the Patriots' win. Which is normally what we get accused of. But you all spent all last week ripping on the Chargers, telling me about the travel, telling me about the weather, telling me that Phillip Rivers is going to choke. And if all that stuff is true, if you were right, then you're diminishing the Patriots' win, which I'm all for. You want to do that? God bless. But that's what you're doing. That's what you're doing when you do that.
That was a big boy ass kick, and that's what that was.
I consider that a real team, a real opponent who beat everybody else, and you beat them. You de-pants them. And so, I mean, that's what I think. I don't know. What about you? You want to rip on the other team? You're just taking away from the Patriots, which, again, we will welcome. All right, you're all loaded up, of course, right to you after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lob. Three sets wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Have they stopped him yet? Surgical. Brady sets the back foot. He doesn't even look. He knows it's open. It's wide open. And just lofts Hill to the back left pylon. Tell you what, Josh Gordon down. What Dorsett has been able to do at the end of the season to be a non-factor all year, to continue to grind, to step in and say, okay, it's my time. It's my number. I've worked all year. And he's earned the respect of the quarterback. It's a 15-yard dagger for a touchdown to take a 21-7 lead.
I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see.
Talking heads in the media, talking about how this is the end of the dynasty, you're going to fall off a cliff and become a bum and all this stuff. So, you know, I'm sure winning's sweet, but is it that little bit sweeter when you're constantly proving people wrong all the time?
I just like winning. I just like winning.
Before we get to the phones, what did you think of Brady's reactions yesterday?
Please. I mean, that thing coming off the field, I don't mind the I like winning answer. I don't mind that. But the one off the field, everyone thinks we suck. We can't win a game. Whoever said that? What do you now? Look, rally around whatever you need to rally around. I'm good with that. Like no issue. You suck. Who said the Patriots suck?
I don't know of anyone. I mean, a lot of people, you know, including me, said they were going to lose. But
I mean, that word is typically part of the Felger and Mez vernacular, but I don't think any of us collectively ever said the team sucks. Have they dipped? Have they been, you know, not up to par? Do other Patriots teams in the past? Yeah, we've said all that kind of stuff.
So I thought I'm with you, Maz. The post game, I didn't see the walk off with CBS. I missed that somehow. But the post game interview I saw, and when he answered that way, I thought, badass. That's a badass answer. Like, good job, Tom. Like, you know, I got a little Patriot tingle. Just a little one. Like, that dude's a badass. He is. Edelman's a badass. Brady's a badass. They're just badass competitors. They really are. The CBS thing, you know what he's doing there. Like,
that's exactly what that is.
I guess I'm not old. Don't you feel stupid? I guess we don't suck.
Like, Jesus, Tom. Like, come on. Like, that piece, I think it sounds like a baby. But, again, whatever it takes, you know? I mean,
if that's the narrative he's built in his head to play the way he did yesterday, fine. I'm all for it.
So, yeah, listen. Same. I mean, I combine Brady doing that thing with CBS and Belichick shooting daggers through the big boy in the post game and say, they got a little chip on their shoulder. And that's good.
It is good. It's probably been a while since they've had that.
You know, and that's hard to do. You want to play Bedard getting dumped on? Yeah, go ahead.
Bill, did you have a good feeling coming into the game that they were going to continue to play with 7-6 defensive backs? Or were you
prepared? I've been doing it all year. They did it against us last year.
I mean, were you prepared for them to put more linebackers on the field at any point if you guys kept running the ball like you were?
Yeah, that's what they do.
So you can't. The audio doesn't do it justice. The very end, he gave Bedard a, yeah, you effing idiot. Like just sort of this dismissive. So I don't know. Maybe Bill listens to Big Boy Tuesdays here on the. I don't know, but to go to 8 straight conference title games and have 5 Super Bowls in your back pocket, and to still have that chip on your shoulder. Good job. Like, that's a great sign. That's a healthy sign. Good for them. Like, good. Pedro used to walk off the field and pick out the one guy booing him out of 30,000. And though if that's what it takes for the greats to keep doing it, God bless. And I really do. I take it as a positive. But I guess we don't suck and we're going to lose everybody. That's just being a child. But again, if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
I know everybody thinks we suck and that we can't win a game. That's what he said.
Tommy, you were favored.
But look, see,
some people thought you were going to lose. Not even most people, just some. If most people thought you were going to lose, you would have been underdogs. You were favored because most people bet on you. That's the way it goes.
I mean, 3 of the 4 panelists on CBS picked the Patriots yesterday. Was it
everyone
four,
did? They were plus four. I mean,
four out of five.
Four. That's the way it works.
Like, you know, so but
if people think you aren't going to win, then you're an underdog. Like this week, okay. So anyway. All of it, with your calls, I promise. Here's Eric in Connecticut. What do you got, Eric? Lead us off today.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First off, Foxborough was rocking yesterday. It was loud. It was crazy. Felt like vintage Foxborough. It's not the family tourist attraction that's become September through December, so that was awesome. Kirk, to that. My take today is, do you guys think this year has been more of a conservative play calling scheme for McDaniels and Belichick, knowing that our guys are older? They don't want to put them in the position where they could fail. They don't want to show their cards too early.
Well, let me just stop, because I think they're more balanced this year for sure. I don't think it's necessarily I guess by nature it is conservative, but it's balanced. Part of it to protect Brady because he was hurt, or they can't air it out because Gronkowski hasn't been the same. Yeah. Or, you know, Gordon got suspended. Like, all that stuff, I think that all plays into it.
Sure. I think there's some truth to that. I do. It was hard to look at them yesterday and not feel that way.
Oh, and I agree with you early. It was more the pass than the run, but it was still pretty balanced the whole way through. I mean, it really was.
But three of Michelle's first five runs didn't get past the line of scrimmage.
No, I know. And so it was a passing game that really got him going early. But that first drive still had nine passes and six runs.
Yeah. I'm not saying they didn't try to run. I'm just saying the effectiveness of it. Like, to me, what was effective early, Brady shredded them early. He shredded them in the early part of that game.
The backs and Edelman, which, you know, every two-bit, and I say two-bit, but, you know, like, every analyst said that's what Brady does against that Gus Bradley cover three thing. And then on the first drive, it's like, here you go. Here's White. Here's Edelman. It was unbelievable.
It was unbelievable. And again, I think I'll go back and count. It was either five or six catches for White on the first drive. The first drive.
We've got Mark in Columbia. You're up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just hoping somebody would comment on the line play with Gronkowski. Andrews in the middle and Flowers on defense.
They were outstanding, both sides. And the defense was a little bit more than just the line, because they sent linebackers and whatnot. So it was really that scheme. But again, the number, I just can't. Rivers was pressured on 70% of his snaps. And was Brady even touched in the first half?
Not that I remember.
They got, when I say got to him, like, they put a finger on him a couple times in the second. But I don't even remember. Did he take a single hit in the first half?
I don't think so. I mean, I just remember thinking.
No one grabbed his jersey until like mid-third quarter.
Right, that's what I think. Yeah. The first time they laid a finger on him,
I think it was Ingram,
was in the third quarter, which is just tremendous. That's where the game was won and lost.
Oh, my gosh. The offensive line absolutely dominated the game. And again, so did the defensive line. You know, there's a cliche there, right, about the trenches and the playoffs and everything else.
It was yesterday.
I think it was largely true all weekend. Yesterday was the late game yesterday was even a lot of ways in that regard. But the other three, lopsided.
Tom in Newton. Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, I know this is obviously not the week to be, you know, griping about the Patriots given that, you know, performance yesterday. And, you know, I think Brady was, you know, if he's chirping anybody, it might have been you guys yesterday about, you know, people say they suck and all that. But honestly, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, gripe about them either, but I think it's worth pointing out, did yesterday's game, other than the fact that Brady looks like he's back to his old self, did it really tell us anything we didn't already know? Because, I mean, that Chargers team, I mean, I agree, they were tremendous. But walking that game, you know, they're rubbing their hands, they looked cold, they didn't want to be there. They didn't bring it yesterday. I mean, it's like, can they go into Kansas City and do the same thing? We know they can win at home. We don't know they can win on the road. It just seems like we kind of already knew this stuff. I mean, Gronk.
Well, let me stop you. I mean, I thought they were going to lose, so they showed me something. I didn't think they'd put together that kind of performance, which is different than saying I didn't think they were capable. Of course they're capable, right? Any given Sunday, with all that talent and all their experience, they're capable. I didn't think they'd do it. So they would have had to have shown me something. Absolutely. I also think it's fair to say, okay, now it's time to go on the road. And let's see.
Oh, yeah. No. Both things are legit. But, you know, sticking to yesterday, name me another game where they played that well on both sides of the ball.
I can't think of one. I mean, against a real team.
Right. Miami at home, 35-7. That doesn't count. Like, you know, crying out loud, no. Because how the hell can you tell? But that's a real team that came in here to play as well as they did on both sides of the ball. They haven't had a game like that all year long. So, like, can they go to Kansas City and win? I don't know. You know, but yesterday, they kicked the crap out of that team. That was a complete, total ass-kicking.
In terms of our running back argument, Sony Michel actually backed me up. He actually backed me up. I'll give you the evidence of that right after Murray's update. Go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Filger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady with a give to Sonny Michel, stretching to the right. Finds an opening. Runs past. Come on, tackle to the 45-40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15-10. Tracked down from behind by Derwin James. The saving play is made, but it's first and goal to go at the Charger 9.
Look at the bob and weave. The up and he gets inside. And it's a doopsie-doo inside, and it's Devlin with the square off. But Gronkowski in motion, he leans to the right side. And the patience for the rookie to pop a 40-yarder. But the way he weaves through the coverage down the field, phenomenal run by Sonny Michel.
Talk about that 40-yard run that you had, I think it was in the third quarter.
40-yard run. It was all caused by all the great blocking that happened from the offensive linemen, the receivers doing their job. And it was a wide open hole. Anybody could have ran through it.
Jimmy, I'm sorry. Can you play the very tail end of Michelle? I was just talking off the air, and I just want to make sure that I got it. Make sure.
It was a wide open hole. Anybody could have ran through it.
Ah, thank you. Anyone could have ran through it. Or was it anybody? I just want to
call anybody.
Anybody.
Let's play it again. I want to hear it again.
Yeah, me too.
And it was a wide open hole. Anybody could have ran through it.
Anybody could have ran through it. Very good. Thank you. Anybody. I'm just going to write it down.
So does that diminish his whole day because he was honest and humble about his performance against the Chargers?
No.
It doesn't diminish his day. He had a good day.
I'm interested in facts and getting it accurate and being correct. You know, I don't want to. But anybody could have run through it. Even like that fat 40-year-old guy I saw in the Rams on Saturday night?
C.J. Anderson.
It probably cost him nothing.
Oh, he blew up too, man. He's huge.
Never mind a first-round pick. They probably cost him like $500,000 and that's it.
Yeah, wow. They signed him off the street in December. Yeah. He's like 28, by the way. He's not 40.
He looks 40.
Yeah, no, he's fat and 40.
He's a cow. Wow, is he huge. Holy crap. And you got to keep him and Roethlisberger out of the same backfield.
The running game debate, I just love it. I really just love it, Murray. You know, he said three of four teams have first-round running backs on their team.
Mm-hmm.
To me, as I watch these games over the weekend, I feel Gurley and certainly the New Orleans running backs, and, of course, Michelle. All those teams have really diverse, balanced offenses, right? Certainly in New England and New Orleans, it's the quarterbacks and, you know, the conditions in New Orleans with the dome. I mean, those are teams that can light you up through the air. And so I feel in both of those spots, the running games are a complement to their passing games. In L.A., I think it's about the scheme. And I think Goff's good. I don't know if he's great yet. But you watch that team play, and for all the grief we give McVay and all the you know, the plaudits he gets and like, you know, anyone who has smelled one of his farts seems to be getting a head coaching job, right? Like it's over the top. For all of that, he has a really nice game.
Yeah, it's good.
I mean, it's really a nice game.
I'll tell you, I was impressed that they ran the ball the way they did in this game because a guy like him at his age, you'd think could be like Mike Martz Jr. and want to throw and want to lighten
up. No. He's so I think in L.A., I mean, it just tells you. The fat 40-year-old did everything that the first-round pick did. It's about scheme and the openings, and that's what it's about. And I would say that in New England. I'd say that in New Orleans. I think there's one team that truly, truly starts with the running back and starts with the running game that we saw over the weekend. Dallas.
They got knocked out Saturday night.
The Dallas Cowboys. Yeah. The Dallas Cowboys. That offense, to me, feels rudimentary. It starts with the running back, and it's off the running back, and it's simplistic. And there's not enough, I don't know.
They don't keep you on your toes.
Guys open, motion, you know, little
not game. Not enough movement.
That movement, games being played with combination receivers, getting guys open, it feels like archaic. It feels like a passing game from 20, 30 years ago. And so it really just, I mean, I watch the action over the weekend and say I'm more right than ever. The running game's a compliment. Whether you draft a guy in the first round or take a fat 40-year-old off the street and pay him a couple hundred thousand. It starts with the scheme and the passing game and what your offensive line does.
I mean, the line play is just a huge part of it. The Rams ran the ball 48 times. 48 rushes When's the last time you saw a team in the NFL with that kind of a passing game run the ball 48 times? Holy crap. Like, I saw that, and I was impressed by that with McVay, like I was saying. You know, to me, that's an easy one. For a guy like that, they lost in the playoffs. I said, no, we're going to come. We're going to light you up.
But give him a quick, you know, like, there's coaching, too. Again, for all of the we dump on the McVay hippies out there. And like
youth, McVay youth.
The McVay youth, and it's gotten goofy.
Now, the hype for him is legit.
He's got a really nice scheme. And then you compare it to Dallas. It's like I'm watching from 1974.
Which is when Jason Garrett played.
God. And so, I think that was a big factor in that game. Steven Providence, what do you think? You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I was really impressed yesterday with their performance overall. The offensive line, Sony Michel, did a great job. I know you guys are going to touch on this later, but how about the Patriots deciding to kick the ball instead of, receive the ball instead of kicking it, which got us off to a quick start. A huge drive, took up half the quarter, put them on their heels immediately. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that decision by Belichick.
Okay, I'm sorry. I still don't like it.
I didn't love it either.
If I've got one of these quarterbacks, Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, the guys that can control the clock, I know Brady blew the thing in Miami, but typically speaking, Brady's impeccable with it. If I've got one of those field generals, I always defer. Always, 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 always. I mean, by you not deferring, if the dingleberry there on the Chargers doesn't fumble the punt, okay? I think, is it 28-7 at the time that they fumble the punt?
Yeah, King, yeah.
There's 3.5 minutes left in the second quarter. The Chargers were in position there if they just hold on to the punt, which of course they couldn't do, but to get points at the end of the second, and then they would have received the kickoff to begin the third, and there was a chance
to be back in the game
for them to build a little momentum there and get back in the ball game. So, I mean, I know it worked. Like, obviously it worked. I'm just telling you, if I've got one of those quarterbacks, I'm always, always, always deferring.
Yeah, I didn't love it because, again, you could say, well, it worked. And to a degree, it did, except what happened? San Diego came down and scored.
Let me give you the one exception. If there's a huge wind day, that's why I asked you about wind in Kansas City. I think that's a really big factor. You know, if I can not defer or, you know, I want to determine the, like, if the side of the field is that important, if it's that kind of weather day, then maybe. But yeah, they scored on their opening possession, but it was set up for the Chargers to do a little something there.
Yes, and again, the Chargers scored on their first possession, so the advantage you had was negated right away. It was 7-7. So, you know, yes, you jumped out right away, and maybe you can say, well, you set a tone there, except they came right down and got a touchdown on the long pass to Keenan Allen. So, you know, the advantage of that was negated right away, and then they had it set up for the double score in the middle of the game.
Okay, long commercial-free segment is next. We'll get to some of the Charger reaction after the game yesterday, right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rivers in trouble. Down he goes. Flowers has his second sack. Now there's a flag on the play.
Mike gets at his knees.
Trey Flowers.
Hold, too.
Dropping Phillip Rivers. Wrapped him around the legs.
Oh, they're calling us on Flowers.
Personal foul. Roughing the passer.
Rivers is still chirping with Van Noy. Get in the huddle. Your team's down. You're getting smoked by 31. And you're going to get a Kyle Van Noy's ear. Get rid of the ball. He's holding the ball. He's getting blocked and he's low. That's an awful call by Torbert. You complain for three quarters, you're eventually going to get one. You know what? I say that's a legal call if the ball's gone. But Belichick's lighting him up, too. That's a bad call.
6 minutes to go with Rivers.
We're never going to quit. I don't care what the score is. We're going to play until that last second takes zero. So I think that was it. I mean, maybe there's a little more emotion coming out at the end because you just hate that it's over. It's hard when it ends.
So would it be unfair if I said, hey, he showed a lack of composure out there right across the team?
I mean, you can decide whether that's unfair or not. I know that's not the case.
All right, Philip Rivers, your thoughts on the field, off the field. I think that was Tom Curran. Whoever was asking him, do you think your lack of composure may have cost your team? Your thoughts. Because he was yelling at his teammates, yelling at the refs. He was just, you know, in full Rivers mode.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. Did the lack of composure cost them? I would say no, because they got their asses kicked. So, you know, but I would also say he lost his composure. Yes. Yeah, I think the question Curran originally asked him was, did your competitiveness morph into frustration? And he said, no. Bull crap. Of course it did. Of course it morphed into frustration. And the thing I found, and I shouldn't have been as stunned as this as I was, the delay of game penalties.
Twice.
So,
and he could have had three. They had to call a timeout and another one because the clock was running out.
Those are the ones that I look at this guy and say, like, how long have you been in this league?
Don't you think that's the coaching, though?
I think some of that's him.
He does like to get up to the line late, but I think the plays were in late.
Yeah, I still think it's him. You know, he does a lot of running around back there, and he misjudged the clock. You can't do all that running around and then have the clock expire. You can't do it. So I put it on him. He's been in the league long enough to be able to execute that, and maybe the plays were late. I didn't even focus on that part of it, but I still put it on him. They had two of them, and another one they had to call a timeout. And they had two of them in the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah, let me tell you when, you know, you can tell they're late. The first one was after, yes, on their first drive where Rivers threw it deep to Williams, and Williams should have had it. It was a short throw, and he
should have had it.
He boxed the guy out, and he missed it. They came back and got a delay coming back, and that happens all the time. On a long play, the players are late coming back. The coach, like those long plays just take a little longer to reset, and they're not dialed in. The whole operation was not dialed in. So Rivers is part of it. So he's one of those that wants to manipulate the clock and get the right, you know. But I don't know. I was there, and my sense was the play wasn't in time. And that's just another sign the coaches aren't ready to go in the play. I hate those teams where the quarterback's waiting for the freaking play, and he's pointing to the sidelines. He's pointing to his helmet like, let's go, because I still have to get to the line and adjust and everything. So...
And that one didn't hurt him. They converted. They got 3rd and 15, and they converted.
They sure did. But my thing on Rivers is his. I mean, he did. He lost it. He's a tool bag. You know, he acts like a total. He acts like a total tool bag on the field, and he was full tool bag in this game.
I mean, he is late stage Dan Marino. It's just nonstop bitch.
So it obviously didn't help. But I'll just go back to. I don't know what he was supposed to do. The plays weren't there. They were. Up his keister, the Patriots were, from the first drive. He was pressured constantly. Gilmore did a good job on it. Like, I mean, who was there? I mean, both being there, and then I ran home and watched on TV. Like, I don't know. I don't know what plays were there for him to make.
Yeah, I'm not sure there were plays here to make. Again, that's why I think at the end of the day, his play and his comportment, however you want to categorize it, I don't think it really hurt them. They got smoked. They got their asses kicked all over the field.
All right, I played a lot of Rivers. And
by the way, on the second delay of game, 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 7, he converted that one too. So after the two delays, he got first down.
Well, he got two delays, and then he had to take a timeout to avoid a third. So there was something there that they just weren't not dialed in. All right, and I think that was apparent with that Chargers team. As I said, I played a lot of Rivers and Lynn going into the game, so we'll give you Lynn's reaction. He was asked a question about Tom Brady once again, and you may hear it in the question here. Lynn was with Rex Ryan and the Jets. He was with Rex Ryan and the Bills. So he's seen, I mean, the coach has seen this before. You would think, Maz, let me just ask you this. How would you defend the Patriots?
I would take away the middle of the field, make Brady beat you down the sidelines, and rush Brady up the middle.
Okay. Definitely rush Brady up the middle, which they didn't do. Okay. And what I would do is I would get up underneath the receivers.
Man-to-man.
Make Brady throw over the top. I'm not laying back in zone. Okay? So, I'm playing man-to-man, but I'm taking away White and Edelman. And then I'm making Brady throw to Hogan and Dorsett. I'm daring the Patriots. I'm putting my worst corners on Dorsett and Hogan and those guys. And I'm taking away White. I'm taking away Edelman. I'm taking away Brady's little comfort zones, his little safety blankets. And saying, you have to beat me outside with those receivers. Now, maybe you do, but that's where I start. And the Chargers do the exact opposite.
Unbelievable.
So here's Lynn on Brady.
I mean, I was expecting to see his best today. It's playoff time. And he's been here before. He's one of the best that's ever been on that football field. So he did a heck of a job of taking advantage of some of the personnel matchups. You know, their running backs, they ran the ball well. They caught the ball well. They extended drives and just little things like that. You know, he's really good at finding that and your weaknesses on defense. So we made some adjustments, but it was a little too late. You know, we went little like we did last week. Some, their running game was just too physical today. You know, we had to get our linebackers in, and then sometimes they got us in some matchups in the passing game that we didn't like. So they did a heck of a job of picking us apart. But we did not play good complementary football. Complementary football is what got us here in all three phases today. We just didn't play well enough.
Okay, so them being run on, like, I'll give them a break on that. Their linebackers are all beat up. They have to play those defensive backs. So, okay, the Pats went after him in the running game, and they got him. Like, I'll say, okay, your hands are tied on that one.
But then you should be able to cover.
Well, if you've got all your defensive backs on the field, how are Edelman and White able to pick you apart like that from the first jump?
Yeah, and again, was Lynn on that staff that Rex Ryan had when he beat the Patriots in 2010?
I don't know exactly.
Okay,
when he was
so
in Buffalo, he was with him.
Okay, in Buffalo. So, but my point is, like,
he wasn't there with the Jets, was he?
He should have.
I thought he was.
I mean, that's as basic as it gets. Particularly, you take away the short middle. You take away the short middle, and that is Edelman and White. They should have played man-to-man, first of all. Everybody knows now the way to beat the Patriots is playing man-to-man. Their guys don't beat coverage like they used to. And then if you're going to zone it up, you jam the middle of the field between the numbers. That's what you do. They didn't do that. And on that first drive, Brady threw 9 passes. He completed 7 of them, 6 of them to White and Edelman. The other one was Sony Michel. Okay? So, like, again, a running back. That's all they did. I mean, and then by the time the Chargers looked up, it's 28-7.
Lynn was with the Jets when they started sucking in 2012.
Okay.
I mean, really, it's you know, so this is why I felt the defensive game plan was akin to what Pittsburgh did here in the AFC title game a couple of years ago.
We do what we do, and we you know what we're going to do, but we're still going to do it.
I mean, that's just idiotic. Now, again, the Chargers were guilty of what we all were. They didn't see it coming. Like, maybe they thought the Patriots aren't what they used to be, and they're not going to be able to beat us this way anymore. And boy, were they wrong.
Okay. Right to your calls, I promise. Murray's update takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials after a Saturday night blow-up in Orlando, where on the floor, Kyrie Irving goes, I don't know if this is too strong, goes after his coach and Gordon Hayward. All of a sudden, Kyrie Irving tonight out with a thigh bruise. What's up with that? You'll hear that detail in the update. Again, no commercials, and we're right back for your calls.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.